Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. As we go into the word this evening, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want us to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. This is our school of perfection. We are teaching on Christian perfection using the Lord Jesus Christ both as our template, our example, as well as our goal. The purpose of God for his church is to produce a company of saints who will be conformed to the image of Jesus, exactly like Jesus was when he was on the earth, of whom the Bible speaks and says he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible speaks about this. Jesus himself said, the works that I do, they will do, and greater works. As at this evening, we do not see on the earth such a church. We don't see, there's no, we can't see any visible manifestation. The actually Bible also uses that expression, the manifestation of the sons of God, the revealing. John, interestingly, says this in 1 John. He says that, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? He said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He said, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So John was able to let us know that what we really are has not yet shown. It's inside, but it has not yet metamorphosed. It has not yet grown and developed to where it is outwardly manifest. He said, but when he shall appear, we will see him. See, when we have a revelation of how he really is, and that is now reproduced inside us, then what we are will appear. You know, we are far greater than what we see ourselves to be now. I'm reminded of a fellow in the Bible. His name is Gideon. An angel appeared to him, and he said, oh, great man of valor. He said, what do you mean, great man of meek? He said, you know, I'm using Nigerian English. You know, he said, you know, the Moabites and all these other people are oppressing us. How can you say great man of God? He didn't know his potential. But God did. And God was able to speak to him and gradually, you know, convince him. And he had a great victory with only 300 men over all the whatever they were, the Moabites or whatever they call them, you know. So in the same way, that's what the church is, you know. And to understand this, you need to understand the way we got born again, the divine nature was imparted into our spirits, but not into our souls. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, neither into the physical body. Consequently, there is a residual remnant of the sin nature in our souls and bodies that is in conflict with the divine nature in our spirits. Paul describes it in Galatians, says the flesh. The flesh there really means the sin nature that is inside the soul and the body is in conflict with the divine nature. So they are contrary one to another. That's why Christians don't do what they should do. You know, but the good news is that we can and should use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to dominate that sin nature and then flush it out and clean it out. That process that result of cleaning out the residual sin nature in the soul and body is what the Bible calls perfection, as revealed in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Paul writing, he says, having therefore these promises, let us, it's our responsibility, but the Holy Spirit helps us to do it, you know, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, sin nature in the flesh, and the spirit, the sin nature in the soul. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As that word perfection, you know, and it shows it's in the present continuous tense, it's a continuous process. And when you get it, you have to maintain it by the same tools with which you got it, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you're supposed to grow in that condition of perfection, maintain it, and then mature, going to maturity with that condition, in that condition of perfection, till you come to what the scripture calls very graphically the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's available so that we can do exactly what Jesus did and a step further, greater, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what this is all about. And when we come to that maturity in perfection, God can trust us. Because the sin nature is no longer there. See, the reason why God doesn't trust man is he knows that even if the best of intentions, if the sin nature is there and the man is not diligent as he should be, that treacherous sin nature will pop up. And you see it through the history of the saints. One of the best saints like David. You see him, you know, doing silly things that he shouldn't have done. You know, and so many. I mean, you have a few of them who didn't allow it. You know, like Enoch, like Joseph, you know, but, you know, there are few and far between, you know. And so the purpose of God is to perfect his church in this third day. Luke 13:32 says, the third day I'll be perfected. See, God has seasons for everything. This could not have been done in the second day. It could not have done in the first day. A day there means 1,000 years. From the birth of Christ till now is approximately, we're now in 2027, is about, you know, 2030 days. Because just born about 5 BC. So 2032 days. You have to add the 5, you know. So really, you know, from his birth. So we're just slightly into the third day. That is the third 1,000-year period from the birth of Christ. Jesus was born 5 BC, so we actually entered the third day in 1995, about, you know. And so it is during this season that this revelation and then experience of this perfection of which I have spoken is available and will be fulfilled. And so, and the purpose is, like Jesus, like the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jesus was perfect when he was born, you know. When we talk about perfect, he was sinless. He didn't have any, that's why he was born of a virgin. And when he was 12 years old, he was sinless, but he was not mature. But he was about his father's business. He began to study, pray. The Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears, and was able to, and was heard because he feared. So as he matured, he came to full maturity at the age of 30. Then God now released on him the Spirit without measure. He had the Holy Spirit before. But the Bible says the heavens opened and the Spirit of God came upon him. But he had the Holy Spirit. So it just means he had a greater measure of the Holy Spirit come upon him. And then he was led by that same Holy Spirit into the wilderness, you know, for 40 days with fasting and prayer. He overcame the temptations of the lust of the flesh to misuse that anointing. The anointing was already there. So Satan, it was a genuine temptation. The power to do it was there. So Satan said, turn the stones to bread. Use it for the lust of the flesh. Take it, go and jump from the top of the temple. The angels will catch you. Use it for the pride of life. You know, bow and worship me, you know, and I'll give you all the riches of the world. Use it, you know, for the lust of the eyes. Jesus passed all the tests. Then the Bible says he came out in the power of the Spirit. And then we see the miracle start. Turning water to wine in Cana of Galilee, you know, healing the sick instantly, cleansing lepers, raising the dead. Oh, man. You know, feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and so on and so forth. So, but, you know, don't let those things wow you. You're supposed to be doing it. You know, I heard a man of God say one time, you know, talking about the woman with the issue of blood, you know, and God was speaking to him and correcting his, changing his perspective. He said, all of us always see ourselves as the woman with the issue of blood. We never see ourselves as the person wearing the robe. You see, you're not supposed to be seeing yourself as the woman with the issue of blood who is trying to catch the robe. You should be seeing yourself as the person who is wearing the robe and people who are trying to catch your robe so that they can get healed. That's being conformed to the image of Jesus. So right now, we're studying the ministry of Jesus. When in our last lesson, we stopped in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. And we stopped, I believe it's in around verse 21. Matthew 17, verse 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. This kind God, by fasting and prayer, we looked extensively as in our last lesson. You know, they couldn't cast out the devil. Jesus was very angry with them. He called them a faithless and perverse generation. He wasn't talking to his disciples alone. He was talking to that whole generation. And he was very, very upset with them because they had been given that anointing. You go back to Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, you know, he said, give them authority and power. And the Bible says they went everywhere and they did it. Now, all of a sudden, they come against spirit. So it means that the, and this is a very important lesson for all of us to learn, the measure, the anointing level had dropped. And for two reasons. One, they were not fasting and praying on a consistent basis. He didn't mean that every time you see a demon, you go out and fast and pray. He meant you should live a fasted life, you know, which Jesus was doing. That just means you fast, you know, practically every day. You, in the early hours of the day, you don't eat anything very, then you eat later in the day, you know. And then, of course, you have days of fasting where you don't eat any solid food at all. This was common amongst the Jews, you know, particularly the ones who were the more spiritual ones. Fasting was normal, you know. So obviously, these guys probably had omitted that for maybe a short while. Then, number two reason why they couldn't cast the devil out was because there was strife, pride of life. Who is the greatest amongst us? So because of those two things, Satan came in and there was a drop in the anointing. So what ordinarily they would have been able to cast out, they couldn't cast out. And that's a lesson for all of us. And I also gave the example of Kenneth Hagin. You know, one time, one of the times when Jesus appeared to him and he gave him an anointing to minister to the sick. He touched the palm of his hands and his hands started burning as if you put hot coal inside. And he said, whenever you pray for the sick, he said, it will be like fire. It will come out of your hands into their bodies. Once it enters, you know the person is healed. He said, and if there's an evil spirit involved, he said, the fire would jump from one hand to the other. Then he said this, which I think is very instructive. He said that if the anointing wanes, he said, fast and pray until it comes back. And that is instructive about this, you know, because obviously they had the anointing, but it had waned. And it's a lesson for all of us. You know, when God gives you things, you know, and blesses and honors you and gives gifts, you have to maintain it. Nothing in God is just automatic and doesn't matter how you live and, you know. If you do, you know, you can lose some of the anointing. It doesn't mean you're going to, the whole gift will go automatically, but if you keep, it will start dwindling. And so that's a lesson, you know. So today in verse 22, the scripture says, where in the world are we? Yes. It says, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. This is after Jesus had told them about the revelation they had gotten the revelation, Peter, exemplified by Peter, that Jesus was the Christ. So Jesus now begins to prepare them for the fact that he was going to be crucified and that he was going to raise again from the dead. Now, there's a very important lesson that we need to learn here. They heard what he said, but they didn't understand it. See, I'm speaking in English now, and you can hear what I'm saying. But you're hearing it mentally does not mean you understand what I'm saying. That's why Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." You can hear what the man said, but do you hear what the Spirit is saying? And there's a lot of stuff, by the grace of God, that we hear and we don't hear it. We hear it, but we don't. It's not enlightened in our minds by the light of God. You know, you need to understand that there are two avenues of knowledge. Sense knowledge, which is the knowledge you get through your five physical senses. Your seeing, your hearing, your touching, your tasting, your feeling. It comes to your mind, same mind, through the nervous system and, you know, through the eye gate and the ear gate and all of that. Then there is knowledge that also comes to your mind via your spirit. It comes from deep here. It comes up the life of God and it enlightens your understanding. If you have information in the mind that came through the physical senses, but it has not been enlightened by the Spirit, you have what E.W. Kenyon calls head knowledge. In other words, you have mental knowledge of it, but you don't have revelation knowledge of it. It takes the light of life to enlighten your understanding. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to see verse 17. Still on my side. Right. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord," Paul is writing, "that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity." Vanity means unproductiveness. Now let me just take a little detour here and say something about this that's very, very important. You know, scientists have discovered this and they're working on it. Very, very assiduously, you know, very, very fervently, that the human mind is operating, they say even the ones we call geniuses amongst us, they're operating less than 15% of the potential of the mind. The very smart ones, we say, that's 15%. Then the ordinary ones are 10% and below. You understand? They don't understand it, but they know. The human mind is capable. We have 100 billion neurons, you know, in our brain. Talking physical now. We'll come to spiritual in a minute. You know, and yet our mental capabilities are far below the potential. That's why some of our people now are trying to put chips. Don't do it too. If you're a Christian, say, "Pastor, why?" We don't know where it's going. We don't know how that thing is going to evolve. Where in the end time, where, you know, the spirit of the Antichrist is around. The Bible says in the time of the Antichrist that they will have a mark in the forehead or in the right hand. And you will not be able to buy and sell. This technology that is not coming, it exists. They can put a chip in your hand and they can put one in your head. Don't let anybody mess with your head. Trying to increase your mental capacity, you can get it from the ability of the mind of Christ. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. You know, when I, yet not I, but the grace of God that's with me, you know, this prophetic anointing, my prophetic teaching anointing, this is about, it was 2014. So that would be about 9 years ago. I started teaching on the ability of the mind of Christ. People thought, they said, "What is this?" It sounded so, so far, you know, reach. It sounds like fantasy. And Pastor Olubi has started again. All this, but now that's what they're trying to do in the physical. They're trying to use a physical means by planting a chip inside your brain, so that, the mental capacities of the chip, like a computer. You see, a computer, the difference between you and a computer is this. You have more memory capacity than the computer. In fact, up till now, because it's an area I love and I'm studying, artificial intelligence and all that, because my background is in physics and engineering, so I study and I read and I keep up, I hear what is going on, The difference is that it's a mechanical device. When I say mechanical, it's a physical device. It's usually has a magnetic something. It can store the information. The computer can store vast amount of information, process them at very high speeds, and then reproduce them on demand. But it bases it on what we know as algorithms. An algorithm is, let's keep it simple, it's just a formula, it's a computer program. Now, with this artificial intelligence, this ChatGPT and all of these LLMs, these large language models, what they're doing now is that they discover that, look, if you just write a program, the computer is very limited. So what you do is that you give it a large amount of information that it learns from. Then you give it what is known as a neural network, where it is just a mimicking, it is a copy of what the human brain does. You give it some information and then it weighs the information on the basis of the weights, it makes a decision, and then it does it over and over and over and over and over again many, many times, and then it comes out with the correct information. So when you're typing on your computer and you put happy, immediately say birthday, it will suggest. That's a very small illustration, of how, that's what it's actually, that's why they call it GPT, Generative Predictive Transformers. It generates what it predicts you're going to say or what you want. So when you give it an input, it will go to its vast memory, something at a high speed. The thing is the speed, And then it will collect all the information about that thing you said. Then it will come to a conclusion that this must be what it will predict, that this is what you must be thinking that you want. So it will suggest it. That is why, as good as those models are, they are not God. And that's why they can make mistakes. Because they are only as good as the information that they have been fed on. So, men are now trying to say, okay, if I can put a chip inside the human brain, in fact, they're doing it now, experimenting. Christian, don't go there. So they put the chip so that when information comes to your mind, the chip acts in consonance with your brain, your neurons, in a way, kind of boosts it and, makes it, so you can get, much more information, and process it and, return it just like a computer. They're trying to make Superman out of it, God is far ahead. Thank God for revelation, though. If we didn't preach that thing years ago, this kind of thing would be fascinating us. Now, it's inferior to what I know. Because, see, what God is doing is to give us the ability of the mind of Christ. Keeping it simple, it gives us access to the omniscience of God. And the easiest way, natural analogy, the Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So I'm going to use a natural illustration. This, my iPad, I have all my messages and everything on it, you know, is even as you're speaking now, it's all, I'm online as I'm talking. If something comes in our seats, you know, like an email or something, I won't read it now because I'm preaching, but I'll see it immediately. You know, this iPad has a limited memory capacity, maybe 520 gigabytes or 512, or, you know. But because it is connected to the internet, it can get information that is far greater than its capacity, depending on its own capacity and the speed. That's why you use Starlink and all these Glow and MTN, you know. So you have what we call upload and you have download. So if the speed is fast, if it's very, very fast, it can access. That's why when you open a web page, if you have a superior iPad or computer, it can access it very fast. You get another one, it'll take you 2 minutes. It'll be opening small, you know, like that, you know. So what is a question, rather, what is being done is that you have something that has a high speed, you know, with, I won't use the word infinite, but a large database. The internet is a large database. So what this iPad potentially knows everything on the internet. It's just that it has to connect it and then download it. If it is very fast and very efficient, it will be able to download it almost instantly. So you will think it knows it, but it doesn't. It's accessing a higher database than what it has capacity for. Now take that to the spiritual. We're not God. God is only God who knows everything. But because you are connected to God, the mind of Christ, as you develop spiritually, your download and upload speeds will increase dramatically. So when anything you need, you know, once you just think about it like this, the Holy Spirit just downloads it to you instantly. So it will be as if you're not God. Never forget that. It's a fine line there. You know, you will never be God, but you can become like God. Let's say it another way. You can become more and more like God. So that when you see something, instantly you will know it. You will know. That's what happened with Jesus. You see, Jesus, he said, you did not come to me because you saw the miracles, but you came because of it. Immediately he read their minds. The Bible says, and he perceived. He had access. But it's not exclusive to Jesus. All of us have the same, you know, have access to the same thing. You know, now what they're trying to do with the chip is what I've just said, but instead of using the Holy Spirit, they're using a mechanical device so Satan can enter. Yes, they can put a chip in your brain, and so that your brain can receive like the iPad or like the computer, it can receive signals from the internet and all that, but it's very dangerous. Because if anything happens to the internet, anything, it's going to mess you up. So I counsel every born-again believer, don't go there. Don't take any chip in your hand. Don't take any in your head. No matter what they promise you. How you will become super intelligent and you'll be, you know, smarter than everybody else and all of that. It will not be superior to what God is going to give us in the mind of Christ. Number two danger is that it's going to be one of the things the Antichrist is going to use in the end time, where he's put a mark in their forehead. Forehead is your brain. You know? And the Bible says if you take the mark of the beast, you are going to hell. You're not, there's no forgiveness. So you don't even want, don't go there. If you are looking for power, if you're looking for wisdom, get it from God. Don't try and get it from any man or any man-made thing. All this is just laying the groundwork, the foundation for the Antichrist. I was sharing somebody recently, you know, on this. I think it was Pastor Larry in my house, and we were watching some documentary. And I said, Larry, I believe the Antichrist is already alive. But I think he's still a kid. He'd probably be about 15. I'm saying about. I'm not, you know. Probably be 10, 15, max 20, max 30, you know. Because if you're looking at, you know, the generation, which is 20 or 20, 46, at the time of the rapture, I'm not saying it's exactly 20, 46, I'm just saying, you know, about that time, then you're looking at 23 years from now. And if the Antichrist comes into prominence, he won't be a kid, he won't be a 20-year-old. He'll probably be in his 40s or 50s. So now, he must be in his late teens or early 20s, mid to late teens, early, he must be alive today. Now, someone's going to say, does he know? He may not know yet. He may not know yet that he's going to be the Antichrist. He may be very intelligent. Maybe he's gone to the best schools in the world. You know, he will come from very rich parenthood, have the best education. You know, a great orator, a great speaker, but a very evil man. Even from this young age, he would have started doing things that violate his conscience. And they would be telling him that you're going to be a great man. You know, there's some families like that. From when the child is small like that, they'll be telling him that he's superior to everybody else. And that, you know, God has a great destiny for him. And that, you know, anybody that gets his way should crush them. Yes. It's happening already. You know? So I believe that. But I mean, all that is speculation. You know? But the point is, you know, that is why we need to buck up as the church. You know? Those things can only fascinate you if you don't know you have something superior. So the reason why I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is me. Why it has not fasted me, even though that's my area. I know that what I have in Christ is superior. The wisdom we have in Jesus is far superior. Far. That he might be made known unto principalities and powers of heaven, the manifold wisdom of God. But if I didn't have that revelation, that scientific advancement will be a source of temptation for me. I want to get it, you know, so that I could be, you know. I just got a text, Pastor G. It's from the book of Genesis. It says, looking at the tree of knowledge of good, that should desire to make one wise. I would want to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of eating from the tree of life, which is superior to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, the thing about this thing is this. You will not want to eat. Let me paraphrase my thoughts. You will not have the patience and the humility to eat from the tree of life when somebody gives you a shortcut to get what looks like the same capabilities by just it's just a small experiment. You won't, you go home in the evening, you come to the clinic, they open or something, they put the thing inside, they give you an anesthetic and you're fine. And then you become superior to all your fellow human beings. You think, you know, you have computer capabilities. So you will think you're superior. Have you forgotten? It's in the book of Revelation. It says, and the image of the beast was able to talk. It's AI. It's artificial intelligence backed by negative spiritual power. We couldn't understand these things. Imagine when John wrote it 2,000 years ago. Man didn't have knowledge of computers. It is this generation that we can understand what he's talking about. He said the image of the beast is able to move. It's a humanoid. It's a humanoid robot that's been given great mental capacities and all that, but also backed with spiritual power because Satan is behind it. And if you're not a child of God, who knows where he's going? The Holy Ghost just said something. I feel sorry for saints who don't know who they are and who will not develop to the fullness of Christ in this
for the Satan will run rings around you. You can't live at this natural level as those days approach. You'll be completely decimated. And the scripture says so. It says, and it was given power to overcome the saints. Remember? It's in the book of Revelation. For 42 months. He overcame the saints. It's in Revelation, it's in Daniel. It says he overcame the saints. Now, not all saints. You know, the guys who are left behind. See, you have three sets of saints. You have the saints that are in the man child. Then you have the saints who are the woman that give birth to the man child. And then you have the remnant of her seed. Who does he overcome? He does not overcome the man child. He overcomes the woman. They take her to a place and they protect her. Do you understand? And then he goes, he's filled with wrath. He's the remnant of the seed, the ones that are not that are left behind. So he said, "Ah, Pastor, I thought every Christian was going." No, they taught you wrong. The Bible says, "Watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape." It means there is a, like what they used to do for us in UI, continuous assessment. Every day your Christian life is being assessed. How you're doing spiritually, how you're using the grace and the mercy of God, either using it to grow or using it to something. And at the point of time of the rapture, it is those who are accounted worthy, who watch and pray always, that will go with what I call the first flight. The other people, the woman and the remnant of, they're all brethren. They all come from the same woman, same heavenly Jerusalem. Amen? The woman and the remnant of us will be left behind. And then the Antichrist, you know, all these things I'm speaking about, will be able to, sadly, overcome them because they didn't listen. Oh, I don't believe in groaning. I don't believe in last scripture. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Okay, no problem. You know, when the time comes, it's what you have inside. It says, and he overcame the saints. So that's why, you know, where did I get all this from? You know, talk about the vanity of the mind. I was quoting from here. See, not just one statement, but look at what is inside. That's revelation knowledge. See, you can read that Bible. You can read it yourself, your vanity of the mind, and it just means the human mind at the moment, because of the sin nature, those 100 billion neurons are operating at less than 15% capacity, efficiency. So the ability to download information, store information, you know, recollect information, apply information is severely degraded. Because we were originally made in the image and likeness of God until the fall. That was why Adam could name all the animals. Everything was working optimal capacity. But when he sinned, he came short. There was a short circuit. The light went off. He came short of the glory of God. So that light that was covering him just disappeared. That thing that was in his brain disappeared. So he could no longer do those things that he could do before. But thank God in Jesus, that same glory is now restored. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that same capacity that Adam had is restored and greater. The world hasn't seen anything yet, though. They haven't seen anything yet. They're about to see an alien invasion. They're saying all the day, every day on the internet, an alien. We are aliens. Our citizenship is not from this world. We are aliens. We come from a heavenly country. Yeah, we're a bunch of UFOs. We're a bunch of aliens. We're here. We're right here on the earth. Are you listening to me? We're here. We're a bunch of aliens. You know, spiritual now. You know? And you know what the scripture says? You know, it's when you have this understanding and those revelation, then those scriptures begin to make more sense to you. He says, behold, I and the children of God has given me. After what? Sign. They themselves will be a wonder. Ah! Is this a human being? The ability of the mind of Christ. instant healing of the sick, instant cleansing of lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils, incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning ability. What is this GPT? LLM. It's a large language model. It's already inside the ability of mind of Christ. Artistic ability, musical ability, mathematical ability. We see how it has actually been seen in autistic savants, you know, but downgraded because of the sin nature. So either they will be, you know, like foolish people, you know, they will be able to calculate mathematically, but the same person cannot talk properly, you know, cannot button his shirt and silly things. That's all the devil. But it shows you the potential. Now, in Christ, oh, Kasha, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. All that is going to be restored. Is that scripture again, Lalu? It says, the heavens must receive him until the restoration. And this is one of the things. They will fear us. You know, that scripture hasn't come to pass. Don't let me ask a rhetorical question. Don't answer because it's very embarrassing. Who's afraid of you today? Nobody. They see you more as a nuisance. Seriously. Nobody's afraid of church. The Bible says they shall see. See means there is a manifestation. That you are called by the name, character, righteousness, loving kindness, and justice. By the name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of you. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. It's right in front of us in these years that are ahead of us. That's why we're doing all of these things. That's why we're preaching all these things. That's why we're groaning and praying and live scripture and all. It's all to put the divine nature and the divine character so we can inherit the ability of the mind of Christ. They will be afraid of us. We won't be begging anybody for money. We'll be creating wealth. He says, I will fill their treasures. Thank God we've left all the Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. From next Sunday, we're going to the exciting part. Proverbs 8, ahead of the wisdom of God. I prefer that one to the Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. You know? Yes. These are the things that are ahead of the church. But you know, the average Christian doesn't, nobody has taught them. And even when you try and tell them something, they just look at you as if you're from Mars. And I say, what nonsense. Like one guy said to me, some guy commented many years ago, said, what do I want to do with all of that? Like Esau. Esau said, what do I want to do with birthright? Give me pottage, let me eat. And he sold his birthright for a piece of pottage. Many of us are doing the same thing. What do I want to do with all of that? Eh? Come on, born again, come on, bless, God, I lost all room. What I don't need photographic memory. You know, in our language, that means, what do I want to do with all this photographic memory, all this ability? I don't know of that. So long as I get born again, I'm blessed, and I go to heaven. That's not what Christianity is all about. Alone. Yes, you will go to heaven. Yes, you are born again. Yes, you will be blessed. But there is so much more. Don't despise this birthright I'm preaching to you. The spirit without measure, the ability of the mind of Christ, that's what you say, Pastor Olubi, where did you get all this from? It is the result of the answer to these Pauline prayers I've been telling you. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me, I've been praying those Pauline prayers since 1980. So all these things you are hearing from me now is a result of the answer to those prayers. And we'll be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now we know better the hope of his calling. That's what I'm telling you. The riches. That's what I'm telling you now. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The exceeding greatness of his resurrection power. That's what I'm preaching to you. That's where I got it from. It's an answer to my daily praying of from the Pauline prayers on a daily basis. The fruit of the Spirit, walking in love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and tongues. I, yet not I. But the grace of God is with me. I've been practicing these things consistently for over 40 years. That's why you are hearing what you are hearing. It's simply an answer to those prayers. It's not because I'm special. Anybody can get the same thing. Follow the same route, you get the same thing. God is no respecter of persons. Are you listening to me? You know? So God doesn't want us to, our mind should not be vain. The vanity of the mind. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we got all that from. See how deep the Bible is. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk not henceforth as all Gentiles walk in the what? Vanity. The mind should have the ability of the mind of Christ. It should not be vain. But he explains why. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being what? Alienated. That is, that mind is alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Stubbornness. A wrong attitude. Remember our illustration. Your will is like a door. If you have a wrong attitude, the life and the light of God is from down here. But if it's if up here, if your will is stubborn, it blocks it. So the light does not come from your spirit, from the Holy Spirit, to the mind. So the mind is not enlightened. So the understanding is darkened. But when you have that will, that's why humility is so important. That's why of all the things Jesus said we should learn of him, he put this number one. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That was the gateway. It was the door, the avenue through which the life of God could constantly flow in the mind. And that's how you can get the ability of the mind of Christ. Not by going to Neuralink so they can put a chip in your brain. If you fall for that, you could well, I'm not saying you will, but you could well be following in for what the Antichrist is going to use. That's what's going to happen in the years to come. When the Antichrist rises to prominence, if you want to be, you know, you want to buy, you want to sell, you already know that now. If EFCC, God forbid, if they get your BVN, if once they block it, you can't buy, you can't sell. Even with the small technology as it is now, do you understand? If they can block you from any kind of purchase, you know, once they have your digital details. Spiritually, that's what the Antichrist is going to do. You're going to have a chip either in the brain or on the hand. You know, there are three places. Brain, hand, and there's one other place. Right forehand or something. You know? Because we know that now. You put a chip in the hand, just scan it. So when you get to the shop, you put all your something, just scan it. Use cards. Do you understand? You can even use your iris scan. That's fine. Do you understand? Or your fingerprint. But don't let anybody put something inside you. Lucifer, the Antichrist, the false prophet, you know, they're, all that is already, the workings has already started. The foundations have already, are being laid as I speak. So you want to be very careful. Because sometimes if it goes in, you can't come out. I made a mistake. Let me come and take it out. They've already got you. So don't go there. You want a computer in your brain? Jesus has it. It's called the ability of the mind of Christ. It's even superior to any computer. What computer can man build that God cannot do better? All those 100 billion neurons in your brain, when they are working at full capacity, will be far more efficient than any kind of chip anybody can put in your brain. Selah. A word is enough for the wise. He that had an ear, and I know it's not just saying scripture, pastor, because it's on the, this is on YouTube. If you're listening to me, if you're interested in artificial intelligence and all that, that's fine. I'm a programmer myself to some degree, you know. I believe in, you know, I believe in technology. I believe God uses all of those things. But don't let anybody put anything in your mind. It's one of the things the Antichrist will use in the years to come. And it will damn your soul to hell. Don't do it. If you need great mental ability, go to God. He'll give it to you. But there's a price to pay. That's the problem. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. Meekness and lowliness of heart. Prayer. That's the price. But you can get it. And it'll be far superior to whatever men can do. So let's get back to Matthew 17. Like Papa Hagin would say, how did we get off on that? Well, we got off on it by the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Matthew 17, who's still on my side? Yep. So he told them that he was going to be killed and resurrected. Like I said, they heard it. They heard the Aramaic words back in those days. But they got it mentally, but they didn't get it spiritually. So you can understand why after Jesus was killed, they were so remorseful. Jesus said, but I told you. I didn't tell them once. He didn't tell them twice. He told them, from the time Peter said that was the Christ, he started to tell them. But if you don't get revelation in your from the Spirit, even though you have the information in your mind, you will hear it, but you will not understand it. Let me use another natural illustration. This is a very simple one, but it's graphic. If I start speaking French now, you hear everything I'm saying. You hear the words, but it won't make any sense to you because you don't know French. You don't have the code. Languages are simply a code. In Yoruba, dog is aja. In French, it's chien. S-C-H-I-E-N. All right? Different code, but the same word. Same picture. So what happens is that if you can hear what I'm saying, but if you don't have the code, you will not understand it. Let's get to the Spirit. You can hear what I'm saying, but if you don't have the revelation from the Holy Ghost, the code, the spiritual code, you won't get it. You hear it. So they heard what Jesus said, but they didn't understand it. And they didn't understand it for the next 1.5, 2 years. It was not until after Jesus was raised from the dead. Even then, they didn't get it. Remember? Easter Sunday. Mary Magdalene, who was the first person, the only person who got it at first was John. The Bible says John stooped in, he looked, he saw something that was characteristic because, you see, he was very close to Jesus. They used to sleep in the same house. They used to, you know, move around together. He knew he was just very neat. He said he saw the cloth that they used to, he said it was neatly put, the word neatly. I'm putting it, that's Jesus. He never leaves his bed without making it. He's always neat. So immediately, he said, he saw and he believed. Mary Magdalene, you know, is all emotional, the way women are. I'm not gender, you know. And she. So Peter and John, so they leave. They go to the grave is empty. The place, the tomb is empty, you know. So they go back, you know. But Mary Magdalene is emotionally distraught. So she just hangs around, you know. She's just, you know. So these two angels, a person, don't worry, you know. You'll see him in Galilee and all of that. So she now sees Jesus. Initially, she doesn't know it's Jesus. She probably sees his side view. Didn't recognize him at first, you know. So as he turned around, you know, he said, Mary. Immediately, she recognized his voice. He said, Rabboni. She wants to touch him. She said, don't touch me. He had just come out from hell. Oh, they give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. He had just overcome principalities and powers, and he was taking his blood like the high priest. His own blood. He was taking it to the heaven, to the temple in heaven, to just like the high priest of the Old Testament used to do on the Day of Atonement. He was going to go and sprinkle it on the temple in heaven to remove our past, present, and future sins forever. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So he said, don't touch me. Because in those days, you couldn't touch the high priest. You become ceremonially unclean. So he told, Mary was going to rush to embrace him, you know. She said, no, don't touch me. He said, I'm not ascended to my Father and to my Father. He said, now go and tell my brethren that I'm going to see you guys later, you know. She goes. She tells them.
The Bible says, her words were like idle tales. They heard it, but they didn't understand it. Just like, to the glory of God, some of the things I'm telling you now are like idle tales. Incredible photographic memory. Mugbo. Incredible language and ability. Mugbo. In our language, that is incredible. Is I hear. But with skepticism. Just like the apostles, you know, except for John. You know, they heard. They said they didn't believe. They did not believe. You know, because there was, watch this, no light in the mind. Let me go back and say that in a different way. There was no sufficient light in the mind. They heard the words, but the words had not been enlightened from the Spirit. It was not until later in the evening, that same Easter Sunday. It was in the evening. They were all afraid because they didn't want them to come and catch them. Say, this one was Jesus of Nazareth. Let's crucify him too. So all of them went and they went to hid themselves in a room. The door is locked. Jesus appears. Talk about glorified body. God was far ahead of technology than the earth. In physics, I was telling them yesterday, something I call quantum tunneling. You don't let me go there. You know, if you send a quantum, so, you know, like a small electron or something, if there's a barrier that is 5 volts and that electron's energy is 1 volt, I'm just using very simple illustration. The electron cannot scale over the 5 volts because it's smaller. But in quantum mechanics, it happens. It's called quantum tunneling. And it's all based on probabilities, mathematics, you know, because the wave function that describes the electron, you know, has a small but finite probability that it can be found over the barrier. So if it's 0.00000001 is the probability. But if you have 10 to power 23 electrons, which is the Avogadro number, the amount of atoms inside 1 gram of a substance, then you now multiply that 10 to power 23 times that 0.001, you will get a finite number of electrons across. So how does Jesus come through the door? To quantum tunnel. Spiritual quantum tunnel. He can't walk through the door, but he has a glorified body now, which can operate both in the physical and the spiritual realm at the same time. So he just speeds it up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He goes, remember Star Trek. I remember Star Trek. It was science fiction when we were children. You know, beam up and beam down. You remember Captain Kirk, you know, and Mr. Spock. That used to be my nickname in primary school because of my ears. You know, so, you know, what is science fiction? It's not true. But, you know, what they would do is that they would disintegrate the human body, you know, then it will reconstitute. Then you see the, you know, it does in Star Trek. It's science fiction. But science fiction is becoming reality. Remember in Star Trek, they used to talk to each other on a phone. That's your mobile phone today. What was science fiction 30, 40 years ago has now become reality. So it is. In the realm of the spirit, the spiritual things can move higher, faster than the speed of light. So Jesus' glorified body could move. You know. So when you see this thing you see now, it looks solid, eh? But it's made up of atoms and electrons, and they're all vibrating. They have holes in between. But at your macroscopic level, it looks solid. But at the microscopic subatomic level, you can see the hole. So what does Jesus' body do? What does it do? It comes down to that level and walks through the holes, and then it gets on the other side and reconstitutes. A clap offering. Hallelujah. Simple. It's the truth. He comes through the door. Now you know what he does? he rebukes them for not believing Mary Magdalene. He said he upbraided them for their unbelief. Why am I saying this? Same thing is happening today. You hear, but you don't hear. Let me correct that. You hear, but you don't understand spiritually. That's why Colossians 1 is such an important prayer, that you might be filled with knowledge of in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You hear perfection, but you don't understand. You hear spirit without measure, but you don't understand. You hear it. Except it is enlightened by the Holy Spirit from inside in your mind, you will hear it, but you won't understand it. So they didn't understand. He was trying to, the reason why was just telling them all those things? To prepare them. So instead of being afraid like they were and they were crying and all of that, they would have just been like Jesus, not night. You know what I told them? He said, watch and pray. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He said, watch and pray. Then he comes back, they're sleeping. They didn't get it. If they had understood what Jesus had said spiritually, then they would have known the importance of undergirding him spiritually. And that would have been that much more easier. The Bible says his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. Watch this. It now takes an angel, instead of Peter, James, and John's prayers, to come and strengthen him. Whereas if they had been praying properly, it would not have been necessary to send the angel to strengthen him. That's the power of corporate prayer. When you have corporate prayer, one will put 1,000 to fly, two will. If they had been praying as they should, the power of their prayers would have strengthened him, and he may not have needed an angel to come from heaven to do it. So, you find that, you know, he gets, so he upbraids them. He rebukes them. Say, what's wrong with you boys? That's Olubi Johnson translation. You know, he said, it's me. The Bible says, even then, see the carnal mind, though. Even then, the Bible says, some doubted. Show Nisha. In our language, that means, is it him? Is it a ghost? He said, they were all affrighted. He said, see, come, touch me. Remember, in the morning, he didn't let Mary Magdalene touch him. So between the morning and the evening, he had gone to heaven, a clap offering for the Lord. He had gone into the Holy of Holies. He had done all the ceremonies, all our sins. Your sins are not going to be wiped away. They're already wiped away. That's why we use the blood every day to cleanse. The efficacy of that blood is eternal. It's not like the one of bulls and goats that only lasts for 1 year. This is eternal. One high priest, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, who offered himself one sacrifice for all time. Thank God for Paul. Another clap offering. All this I'm preaching is Paul, the revelation, and he put it in the book of Hebrews. Like I said years ago, what would we do without Hebrews? All this is inside Hebrews. We have a high priest. Jesus, he did that. So he came down that evening through the door. He looks at them, gets very angry with them. Not too angry. You know, he understands the frailty of the carnal mind. So he says, touch me. Handle me. See, it is I myself. And the Bible says, for wonder, they couldn't believe. He said, okay, I know what they understand. I've got some food. He gives fish and, broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he ate it right in front of them. Then he said, this is what I've been telling you guys for 1.5 years. Here I am. I'm raised from the dead and all of that. He said, now, you go and wait in Galilee. I'm going to meet you in Galilee. I'm going to teach you quite a bit of stuff and I'll give you more instructions. And the Bible tells us that he appears to them over a 40-day period. He gave them a prophetic seminar on the things of the kingdom from the prophets. He said, beginning at Moses, he expounded from to them the scripture, all the things that are written concerning him. Another clap offering for the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what you and I should be doing. You know, supernatural things should be natural to us. One of the prophecies Kenneth Hagin gave quite a number of them about the end time. He says that, you know, the people are going to grow fast spiritually in this, as this end time manifestation of the glory of God comes. And he says that the supernatural realm will be as real to you, as natural to you, as water is to a fish, as a bird is flying. And that's how it should be. You know, all these things I'm saying should not be incredulous. It is our natural realm. I preached a message many, many years ago, being naturally supernatural. Yes. Healing the sick, raising the dead is normal. No big deal about it. I prophesied this many years ago, and I'm still saying it. The hour is coming, and now is, when healing things like cancer will be as common as speaking in tongues is now. It won't be a big deal. Like Jesus' ministry. Suzanne, they were all healed. Virtue went out of him and healed them. Virtue will come out of Laulu and heal them all. The guy shouting amen. You know, virtue. Yeah. Is that same dunamis? The Zoe, through prayer and intercession, converted to dynamics, come out of you, you get them healed. Normal. You won't be the woman with the issue of blood, you'll be the one wearing the robe. Glory be to God. Huh? Long I joy, wow. I didn't hear a meal. Okay, let's get back to Matthew and see what God can help us with. Are you still on my side? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. So, and the Bible says in verse 23, and he said, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, verse 22, and they shall kill him, and the third day will be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry, because they heard, but they didn't understand. Verse 24 to 29, we close. It says, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus never broke the law of the land. Very important lesson for Christians. Pay your tax. It's the tax that the government uses to put roads, to create that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, I know they swag the tax in Nigeria to some degree. Not to some degree, to a great degree. But that will change. Amen. Let's keep praying. But you see, two wrongs don't make a right. The fact that they are whacking the tax should not make you a tax defaulter. Amen. Recently, you know, we got a letter from the tax authorities in Oyo State. Nice letter. I'm telling you this as a testimony to the glory of God. For me and mommy, you know. And they said they wanted to thank us. It's a true story. Just about a few weeks ago. They wrote us a nice letter and said they wanted to thank us because we're one of the people who support Oyo State because we always pay our tax. It's a good testimony. True story. Pay your tax and let the world know you do it. So he said, does your master pay tribute? He said, yes. Jesus paid tax. This is not the only time he paid it to. It was something that's why Peter could say, yes. And if you think our positions are bad, you need to know what these boys in the Roman Empire were like. They were bad. But just to pay these tax. Temple tax. This is the tax that goes to, you know, Caiaphas, Annas, high priest, All these horrible people.
The same people who killed him, but he still paid his tax.
What a lesson.
He still paid his tax. And when he was coming to the house, this happened outside the house. Jesus was in the house. Jesus was not with Peter. So the temple, the people who collect the temple tax were accosting Peter and saying, doesn't your master pay tax? You know how our tax people. I said, yes. So as he's entering the house, Jesus doesn't let him talk. Jesus knew supernaturally. That's that ability of the mind of Christ now, accessing information. So he says he prevents him. The word prevent there just means there's a modern English word for it. You know, I'll get it in a minute. You know, there's a word. But the word is not prevent. It just means he does it before preceded him. Yes. You know, but there's a better word. I wish my wife, PhD English, was here. She'd have given it to me. There's a better word. But I haven't gotten it. I'll get it later. He said, but he was able to preempt. That's the word. He preempted him. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. He preempted him. Before he could say anything, Jesus preempted him. And he said to him, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, yeah. Then are the children free. Notwithstanding. Oh, may every Christian learn this. The attitude of Jesus. The character of Jesus. Even if you have a right to something, you don't do it so you don't offend men and get into unnecessary strife. You avoid it. Notwithstanding. Lest we should offend them. Watch this. Go thou to the sea. Because they were fishermen. And there's another revelation that we need to get. You know, Jesus called James and John, two brothers, sons of Zebedee. Then Andrew and Peter. They were fishermen. They had a fishing business. It was a big business. They weren't poor people. Forget all this religion. Amen? If you are poor, you cannot hire servants. Are you following me? You know? And the Bible says they left the fishing. They didn't sell it. They just left it to their dad and to their partners to be doing it. And then they were following Jesus all over the place. But the business was still there. That was why Jesus could tell Peter, go to the sea. And cast a hook and take up the fish that everybody screamed first. So that was not the only one he caught that day. First cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth. I love this, Pastor G. This is what the faith boy is like. Hallelujah. Amen. When thou hast opened his mouth, the mouth of the fish, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. What? You don't get a prosperity message that's better than this one. Hallelujah. See how Jesus paid his tax supernaturally. Like somebody said, the minute Jesus started talking to Peter in the house, all the fishes started looking for any coin that have been dropped in the ocean. It takes the Holy Ghost, Pastor Quigga, to arrange. Peter, watch this. Peter leaves the house. Do you understand? After Jesus tells him this, it will take him about maybe 5-10 minutes because they lived in Capernaum. Capernaum is, you know, is the house of, Bethsaida. But this is Capernaum now. You know, it's on the coast. So by the time he gets to the boat, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, he gets into the ship. You know, you have to move out from the shore into the lake, you know, maybe 20 meters, 30 meters before you can get fish. You're not going to get fish at the shore, you know. So let's just say 20, 30 minutes. Do you understand? So Peter gets into the boat. He takes the fishing
rod. He puts a bait on it. He, you know, the first fish that bites on the bait and he comes up, he finds a piece of money, and not just any piece of money. A piece of money that is of sufficient value to be able to pay not only Jesus' tax, but the tax of Peter. I'll give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. This is an example of working of miracles. Let me tell you. The first thing is the fish. They start... When you pray, and when you pray in the spirit, God causes all things. The fish are not intelligent. They are not, you know. But God uses their instinct. Just, you know, if you see a rat here now, or a cockroach, and you move towards it, it will run away. Why? Because that's instinct. Are you listening to me? You can see the cockroaches with their antenna. You know, they can tell. You know, if you see a fly and you want to kill it, it will fly away. Why? Because it has instinct. The fish to have instinct. God uses the instinct of the fish. Psst. To scan the ocean, the floor of the lake. And then just don't just pick any coin. Pick that one. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. He picks the right coin. Then the fish that picks the right coin now comes up to the surface of the lake, and then he swims towards where Peter's boat is. Look at the amount of miracles and precision that have to be fulfilled for that thing to happen. Not just any fish. The one with that money in his mouth has to swim towards the boat where Peter is and bites the hook, all by his instinct, supernaturally controlled by the sovereign God who rules in the affairs of men. A clap offering for the Lord. Wow! You know, many times we read this Bible, we don't meditate. What I have done now is meditate. You know, think about it. Don't just read it. How did they happen? The correct amount. You know, you could have picked up one kobo. I mean, they didn't have kobo in those days. You know, you could have just picked up something, you know, cheap. Because, you know, they lose money. Maybe fishermen, when they go out on the boat, you know, they must have maybe thrown away. Maybe somebody lost a treasure or something. You know? Exactly. Only God. You know, by the time I finish this message, you're going to like me very much. Because I'm ending with the prosperity message. I want bread, what like? You know, I have something in my notes. He gets that fish, opens his mouth, and lo and behold, exactly what Jesus told him. And Jesus did not hear what the temple man said. The Bible says he preempted him. Jesus was not there when the temple people were asking him a question. He preempted him. That's how they knew Jesus was God. Was what he said he was, Son of God. Because how did he know? How did he know? That's why John writes in 1 John, he said, that which we have seen and our hands have handled of the word of, this is a person, and they saw this kind of thing every day. John said, if all the things Jesus did were to be real, this is just another sample. Jesus, he goes, takes it. I can imagine the incredulity on Peter's face. Maybe John went with him because they were in the fishing business together. Say, John, come and see. What manner of man is this? I'll tell you what manner of man he is. He's a God man. He's a son of God. The same manner of man you are. It does not yet appear. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has shown to us that we should be called the sons of God. He wasn't different from you. What manner of man is this? A son of God. What manner of man are you? A son of God. You just don't know it. That's what I said at the beginning of the message. You just don't know. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But he wants it to appear. It's called the manifestation, the revealing, the unveiling of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm about to take off. This is exciting stuff. This is what is ahead of us in the years to come. And I'm not talking about 20, 40 years. I'm talking about the next five, you know, two, three, four, 5 years, you know, that's ahead of us. So, what happens? So, Jesus pays his tax by supernatural supply. So can, and then I put it in brackets, sorry, in capitals, should we pay your tax supernaturally? You can now understand the scripture. Stand to your feet. We're going to go close. Otherwise, you won't live here tonight. If I continue on this rule, talk about a rule. Are you talking? Are you listening to me? You know, do you know? The Bible says, my God will supply all your need. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what just saw a sample of. This was a supernatural supply according to the riches of the glory in the spiritual realm. It took power and the wisdom of God to get that fish, to go and get that particular coin, to go to Peter's boat, to bite the hook. This is an example of supply. I saw you would like me. My God, my God, will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. See, folks, we haven't taken this Christianity thing seriously. The power of the Holy Spirit. In this same Philippians, one of the verses earlier on, he says, according to the supply of the Spirit. How did Jesus know that that was what to do? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. There's so many ways they could have paid that tax. He could have said, go to Judas. Go and call Judas for me. Judas, how much is in the purse? Oh yeah, take from it, go and pay the temple. Still be okay. But God chose not to do it that way. He chose to demonstrate to you and I that he can supply our need according, I told you you're going to like me, to his riches in glory. It's not the riches in the bank. It's the riches in glory. There are riches in the spiritual realm that are available to us here and now. Amen. In the nasty here and now, not in the sweet by and by. Riches in glory. Supply. And it was not just enough. It was more than enough. What we call El Shaddai. It was not just enough. It was more than enough. We will get there. That's why we're preaching. That's why you're hearing all of these things. So that you can start having faith for such things. Are you listening to me? I said, God, if they bring you a bill, you don't have the money. You can't pray in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Give me wisdom. How do I get this? And God will raise help. There was a situation I was facing today. I won't tell you the details, but I'll just summarize it. You know, I needed to do something and get something. And so after my initial morning prayers and all of that, I was praying the Spirit while I was doing it. So I just kept filling the form and trying to do this. The internet was misbehaving. You know, I will start the thing. It will abort. It will go take me back to the beginning. It will not save it. So I will have to start all over again. I did that about 5 or 6 times. And Albert Einstein says that if you keep doing the same thing, is a definition of insanity. I said, I get where Albert is coming from. This thing is driving me. So I, after doing it, you know, I spent about 2-3 hours, you know, yes. But I was praying in tongues though. I wasn't wasting my time. I was praying in tongues quietly, you know, working. So after some time, I said, Lord, Help me. It shouldn't have taken me 3 hours to get. So I now prayed. It's a true story. I prayed. This today, I now prayed. You know, I just said, Lord, I need wisdom, you know, favor the situation. Then I prayed in tongues. Sure. I prayed in tongues about the service and other things I pray for. So I just took time, not long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just prayed about it and left it, you know, and then I continued to work. So when I worked up to a particular stage, a thought just comes to me. Call this guy. So I call a guy who's helped me with this kind of thing before in the past. Hi, he said, oh, he's contacting this person. They don't know, you know, maybe he says. He said, oh, okay, pastor, leave it with me. You know, I will talk to somebody, you know. So I left him. I prayed. I went to rest to prepare for the service this evening. Checked my, you know, prepared my message, everything. And I slept. You know, so when it's around, you know, in the afternoon, I got up, did my exercises, you know, and then started getting myself ready for church. I go and check my phone. True story. The guy has texted me. Pastor, I found somebody who can help you. So, you haven't heard anything. So, I call the guy. And the guy said, oh yeah, okay, Pastor, just send me all your details. I'll do it for you. You know, you don't have to bother. He said, probably it's the internet and all that. He said, send me this, send me that. So, I did. You know, and he said, oh, you know, by tomorrow I should have everything. As I'm talking to him, another person calls me. True story. Another person calls me and says, you don't have to worry with that anymore. I have made a contact somewhere and you don't need that one anymore. They'll just do it electronically for you. Go shele preka. Give the Lord a clap offering. My God shall supply. Those are not riches in the natural. The riches in glory. It is only God who can move on men and then give you wisdom so that what would ordinarily people would be laboring for and all of that, now what they've arranged for us, I don't have to go anywhere. I just do it electronically and they give it to me. Because I prayed. The other person who spoke to me said, he was been calling me. You know, I was talking to this other guy who said he's going to help me on the internet. This guy just called me. He said, I got a breakthrough. He said, now you don't need to do that anymore. He said, I just spoke to them, you know, and they have agreed. They will just do it for you electronically. You don't need to go anywhere, see anybody, do anything. That solution was available before, but they couldn't get it. Just an example. Let's close this service on a good note. Turn to you and say, my God. I know what you like. Everybody look at you and they will say, my God. And if you like, you can say, God. It doesn't matter. Say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody give a lot of clap over your hand. I said you would like me. Everybody's my friend now. They didn't like the message on Sunday, but now they're on my side now. Amen. Draw me close to you. That's why you should be close to God.
Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you.
Never let me go.
Never let me go.
Never let
oh, hallelujah.
Go.
Sing it.
I lay it all down again,
just to hear you say
that I'm your friend.
Yes. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah.
Nothing else can take your place.
Your heart, raise your other hand to God. This commandment is not afar off. It's not in heaven. You say, who will go to heaven and bring it? It's not under the earth. It's not across the sea. He said, but it is near thee. You say, help me to know you are near. He's already near. But you see, most times we don't know it. We know it mentally, but we do not know it by revelation. Say, my God will supply all your need. Don't restrict him. Be open. He may come in through ways you didn't even think of. That's why the scripture says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. Talk about mental capacity. You're smart, but God is much smarter. And you know the funny thing about God? Sometimes his solution is so simple. Who would have thought of a fish? My natural thing is go and call Judas. How much is inside the something? Raise that hand. Don't restrict God. Oh. That's why you need to pray in tongues. That's why you need to pray in spirit. So you don't know.
what the Holy Ghost does. So he'll be able, you tap, you will be able to have access to that omniscience. You are not omniscient, but God is. But you are near to him. So you can download from the omniscient God for whatever it is you need. Stop running around like a chicken with the head cut off, like the world. What will you eat? What you will drink? What you will wear? See, your Father knows you have need of these things. Check into the omniscience. Check into the omnipotent. Amen. And the wisdom for the supply will come. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the perfection in Christ that is available in this third day. Lord, have mercy on us. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and power in sufficient measure. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to see by revelation, to have spiritual understanding concerning my access to the ability of the mind of Christ. So I will no longer walk as a mere man in the vanity of the human mind, the fallen human mind, but I will walk in revelation knowledge through which you will supply all of my need according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, sala prikitolo motolo moshakatufre. Lord Jesus, aprikatolo motufre de klomatufresh. Lord Holy Spirit, nikatufrika klamaturush. Thank you for your blood. Ritufrika klamatufre. Thank you for your life. Shalikatufre de klamatulo mashtu. Thank you for your power. Nekara noshka fridik. Fridinger dolomatufre. And upon our wills, lapetolomatufres. Our minds, lapetolomatufres. Our emotions, ripetolomatufres. Our circumstances, ritolomatufredoclom. Our bodies, numbedoclomatufreshe. Our circumstances, lapetolomatufre. Our regional heavenlies, ritolomatufredingara, remashka. In this regard, napregatolomashalika tufredenga. Insufficient measure, renanga, jeli, rakagromatol. Lepretoska fridi, checker, lambrakatufreding, rentushka. Friends, in Jesus' name. If you need healing, stretch your hands towards your device. If you're at home, if you're here, just raise your hand. Father, we release the healing power that is already in the air into the physical bodies of those whose hands are stretched forth in faith now. In Jesus' name, be thou made whole. We come against the spirits of infirmity, of fear, doubt, oppression, depression. We cast you out from our souls, from their souls, bodies, and circumstances. Destroy your works therein. Resist, and we bind you in Jesus' name. Amen.